The federal government has a Friday night deadline to pass a bill that would help it avoid a shutdown. Right now, Congress is scrambling to agree on a short-term spending bill to buy time to come up with a budget and pass it in about another month. But there are delicate negotiations over heated issues that are making it tough to pass this time. Democrats and Republicans are still debating how to approach immigration and the Children's Health Insurance Program, or CHIP, both issues that could be tacked onto a budget bill. Jasmine Ferrier is a professor of political science at the University of Louisville. She joins to take a closer look at the situation on the Hill. Jasmine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, this story is changing quickly here, but what are some of the key sticking points to get this very short-term funding extension?
Well, there are the issues at stake, which of course are the appropriations themselves, but also the symbolism of a patchwork system of deciding on the federal government's priorities. So for members of the House and Senate who are on the fence or leaning no, they have a variety of reasons for opposing it. It could be the actual dollar amounts that are in these deals. It could be extraneous legislative provisions such as the Dreamers Bill or the Children's Health Program. Or it could just be a symbolic vote against the way of doing business, that this will be the fourth patch. The fiscal year started October 1st, and this is not a way to run the government.
Let's talk a little bit about what shutdown means. It doesn't mean everything is bolted up and everybody goes away. The military still functions. What are the consequences, at least in the short run, if there's a shutdown?
The short run is that the vast majority of government dollars are appropriated through mandatory processes. This is about a third of the budget. So the appropriations process that we constantly hear about through this continuing resolution, again, is one-third of the budget called discretionary spending. The other two-thirds are spent by the government under what is called mandatory spending, meaning that the dollar amounts are not determined by law every year, such as Social Security and Medicare. Those dollar amounts are determined by authorizing laws, which are the laws that put them into effect, not the year-to-year money battles. With that said, the Washington Post has a great graphic, if your readers would, your listeners would want to go to it, about who gets sent home from which department. And it goes through all the cabinet departments of the United States to explain how many civilians in the military, for example, would be furloughed. So that's just one example. So 78% of the civilian workforce in the Defense Department would be furloughed, but not anyone involved in ongoing military operations.
It seems like the politics of these shutdowns over the years has turned into a kind of a game of chicken. Both sides are charging towards each other and the deadline. Usually it's one side saying, give us these concessions or we're going to have this shutdown. This time it seems like it's harder to tell. There's different... Like there's eight different cars colliding here, and it's hard to tell who's going to give what different moving parts are going to come together.
Yes, it's a famous cliche in politics that no crisis would go wasted if it can be used for leverage on another issue. So this is a crisis. It's a manufactured crisis, but it is a crisis nonetheless. And the crisis takes many forms. There's the literal policy part of it, but there's also the political piece, which is who will be blamed and how will it spin into the 2018 midterm elections, on which party will be reflecting, will it matter for the president? These are the types of political questions that people ask. Unfortunately, again, it's manufactured, so these short-term deals may provide relief, and we might even see a short-term deal over the next 24 hours. It could be as short as a day or two, just to give the negotiators more breathing space. But in this hyperventilating moment, yes, any no vote that will be flipped to a yes vote would, of course, have something attached to that. So any rational legislator who's on the fence, who knows that their vote is needed, they will certainly have the right and even the obligation to pipe up for their pet project or their pet issue to get some attention. Because if you're one of 535 members, under most circumstances, you're not that important. You're very important over the next 24 hours.
Jasmine Ferrier is with us, political scientist at the University of Louisville, looking at negotiations over to prevent a potential government shutdown. One of the big issues here, as we mentioned, is immigration and the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA. President Trump, when he announced the end of that program, said, but Congress, you should fix this. There have been negotiations over the last week. Democrats are maybe going to draw the line at that. The president and others seem to want border security attached to it. Here's Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell hinting that the president is creating some confusion over what is wanted on the DACA part of this story in a press conference yesterday.
I'm looking for something that President Trump supports, and he's not yet indicated what measure he's willing to sign. As soon as we figure out what he is for, then I would be convinced that we were not just spinning our wheels going to this issue on the floor, but actually dealing with a bill that has a chance to become law and therefore solve the problem.
So Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell saying Republican President Donald Trump needs to provide guidance. Is that part of the holdup here, Jasmine?
It is. The Republican Party is audibly frustrated with the president for not sticking to a consistent set of talking points about immigration bills. And that could be for a couple of reasons. One is that the Republican Party is divided. You may recall that in the second Bush term in around 2005 or 6, the president wanted a Dreamers bill. The Democrats were on board, and it stalled in the Republican-dominated House. So if President Bush couldn't deliver it, President Obama certainly couldn't deliver it under either party's control, it's no surprise that this is still a sticking point for a lot of different Republican views. More specific to this president, it's unclear exactly what he wants, but there is one thing we know he wants, and that is a win. And he does not want to be in a situation where the government shuts down on his watch. That will reflect poorly on his presidency, on his leadership of the party, and, of course, on the leaders of the House and Senate. So the president has shown some ideological flexibility in order to get a legislative win on any subject.
Another topic that's come into this is CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program. Funding expired. Some states around the country are maybe going to have to make changes if it isn't renewed. Republicans in the House were trying to add a six-year extension to CHIP to the budget deal here to encourage Democrats to support it and to say to accuse Democrats of failing on CHIP if they didn't support the budget extension here. And then the president tweeted something today about not wanting CHIP to be part of this short-term deal. So that just got more confusing today, too.
It did. Well, Speaker Ryan is certainly banking on CHIP to be an important negotiating point to get Democrats on board. And he would argue that any Democrat who holds off on a spending deal to protect CHIP because they prefer to protect Dreamers is going to have political problems. So again, that's what Speaker Ryan is doing, and that's exactly what party leaders are supposed to do when they're cobbling together a deal. They not only create the deal, they create the narrative. It's an open question whether Democrats are truly afraid of that type of argument or if they think they can overcome it this year.
Jasmine Ferrier is with us, professor of political science at the University of Louisville. We're looking at the risk of a government shutdown if Congress fails to pass a spending bill by tomorrow night. You can tell us what you think at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Are you worried about a government shutdown? Do you think it's going to happen? Whose fault is it if it does? Would you like to see Democrats and Republicans come to a compromise in Congress and then with the president? Should DACA, immigration, border security be part of the deal? The Children's Health Insurance Program, a lot going on. Tell us what you think. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. We continue the conversation with Jasmine Ferrier, professor of political science at the University of Louisville. We're looking at the risk of a government shutdown if Congress fails to pass a short-term spending bill by tomorrow night. Still an open question at this point. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you watching this? What do you hope comes out of it? Are you worried that there's going to be a government shutdown? What compromises do you think should be made? And do you think this is a bad way to run a budget? These short-term deals, kicking the can down the road, people keep saying. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jasmine, the House is moving towards a vote. It looks like even if they pass it, the Senate might be even harder to pass this in. Can you talk about what's going on in the Senate?
Yes. So the House is in most ways a simple majority body, meaning you just have to have 50% plus one. Technically, of course, the Republicans are in control, but Speaker Ryan knows how to count votes, and so does his team. And they can afford to lose at least a dozen Republicans, but they can't afford to lose over two dozen Republicans. In past spending deals, when the Tea Party or Freedom Caucus wing of the Republican Party has balked, they've had to bring in Democratic votes. But it looks like Speaker Ryan may squeak this one out with his own party's members. The Senate's another story, as it normally is, because it's a 60-vote threshold to overcome a threat of a filibuster. So you and your listeners may recall a few years ago that Senator Ted Cruz from Texas filibustered a continuing resolution to protest Obamacare. And the government did shut down for a brief period because of that. So this type of legislative vehicle, even though, again, it's done on an emergency basis, can be filibustered. A filibuster can only be overcome with 60 votes. The Republicans have 51, and that's counting John McCain, who I'm not sure is even present in the Capitol to vote right now.
And it doesn't look 100% sure that all Republican senators would vote for this. This is getting opposition from Democrats, but different Republicans in the House and Senate have their own reason for opposing this budget extension, right?
Yes, I think at least three Republicans have already come out against it, and at least 39 Democrats have come out against it. So that math does not equal 60 votes. So Mitch McConnell is in a pickle. There is no doubt about that. But he's a savvy legislator, and he may be able to twist a few arms at the last minute. He's going to count on vulnerable Democrats to help him out, like Joe Manchin, who's a Democrat from West Virginia, of course, one of the redder states in the 2016 presidential election. And Republicans are threatening to use this vote against Democrats who are running in red states this year, like Senator Manchin. So I wouldn't count Senator or Leader McConnell out quite yet, but he and Speaker Ryan have an enormous load on their backs tonight.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Nate is with us in Middleton. Nate, hi.
Thanks.
What do you think?
I think this is the time for the Democrats to hang tough and load this thing on the back of the Republicans. They are the ones that are... They want the wall. Well, if they want the wall, they got to give the Democrats DACA and the CHIP program. And I don't think the Democrats have to give them the whole wall. I think they could get by with a half a loaf because the shutdown, if the government shuts down, it's going to look bad on the Republicans and it's going to affect the economy negatively, which Donald has been making a big deal of.
Nate, thanks a lot for that call. Jasmine, I'm guessing a lot of Democratic legislators are hearing very similar messages from their Democratic Party constituents. Hang tight, get something out of this.
Yes, that's true. Again, every Democrat, every no vote from the Republican side, too, has an enormous amount of power right now. But I think Nate has a point that the economy is based in part on making sure that the government is running and functioning. And when the stock market takes a bit of a dip like it did today, it's a reflection of our ability to govern ourselves, even with heightened divisions and a lot of tension between the parties. The government has to prove that it can work. And this is the most fundamental constitutional obligation of the United States Congress. It has to pass annual spending bills for the government to function. Nobody's going to come out looking good, and nobody wants this to happen. But, as Nate said, you have to give a little to get a little. And this is where legislative business takes place. It has to be negotiated.
Thanks for the call, Nate. We'll go to Kay now in Altoona. Kay, hi. Kay, are you there? I think we've lost Kay in the meantime. Well, Jasmine, let's look big picture here. It seems like most people would agree these short-term resolutions and the hullabaloo that surrounds them, the risks that surround them, aren't really ideal. How do we get out of this situation of again, kicking the can down the road?
Well, we have to take a little bit of the blame off of the contemporary leaders and ourselves in a way. These processes of passing 12 different appropriations bills was sewn into the 1974 Congressional Budget Act. In all fairness, since 1974, all 12 of those bills have not been passed on time. I think only five or six times, frankly, in the entire history of the law has the entire budget process gone smoothly and by October 1st. So this is actually the norm, even though it seems like a crisis. This has been the way that the budget has worked. So the good news could be that if legislators say enough is enough, there could be some process reforms. For example, most states do biennial budgeting, which means every 2 years. So most states, including my own, probably Wisconsin as well,
also,
they do
a 2-year
budget. Yeah. So a 2-year budget means that you don't have to have the same fights every single year. You get a little breathing room. You can have a year of appropriating and a year of oversight. Now, there are a lot of reasons, though, to get people on the record. And so for political purposes, as well as for policy reasons, sometimes legislators actually do want to have constant battles so they can move their priorities over 1 inch at a time. But you can see that it's a frustrating mess in this particular instance. Whether we learn any lessons from it, though, as this has been going on for several decades, it's an open question.
Yeah, it seems like a tall order for Democrats and Republicans to agree on process reform without similar games of chicken. Briefly, Jasmine, do you have high hopes for that?
I would like to say yes, but in political science, I have to be humble. We have not been the best predictors of events in recent years. So I have to say that I'm not quite sure what the outcome is, except to be sure that nobody wants a shutdown. It will not play well politically for anybody.
Jasmine, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That's Jasmine Ferrier, professor of political science at the University of Louisville. She joined us to look at the risk of a government shutdown with a deadline coming up tomorrow night.